Blog Talk Radio. You love me. You love me. You hate me. You'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the.
Hey guys, and welcome to YRG Radio Roundtable. I am DDP, and I am your host. I got to mention a little bit of that music right there. I hadn't heard that in forever. You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. I actually stole that from, and I don't remember the fraternity, but it was a fraternity bumper sticker. And that's where that came from. And I hadn't heard it forever until, you know, I go around on Team YRG. And if you're listening to this and you're not a member of Team YRG, you can become one at going to www.teamyrg.com. And I'm letting everybody in now to come in because I want them to experience what we have here. It's so cool. This place where people can be inspired, can come looking for inspiration and actually become the one who's inspiring others, as to my guests that I'll have today on the show. I also want to let you know that today's show is not live. This week's show and next week's show will not be live because Thursday, while you're listening to this, I will be at a premiere for my buddy, I know, big hot shot guy in Hollywood, premiere for my buddy Tim Sullivan, who directed a movie I did called Driftwood. He also wrote a movie, another movie I did called Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. He was one of the writers of the trilogy on that, and I'm actually going to it's called Splatstick. It's horror, really gross, how people die, but really funny, and there's nobody safe in this movie as far as if you know, I don't care what nationality, you know, color, creed, whatever, they persecute you. So I'm looking forward to going to see that, and that's where I'll be while you're listening to this. But so tonight I asked two of the people who came to Team YRG looking to be inspired and now are two of the biggest inspiring forces on our Team YRG, which is Stacy Morris and Doug Steffen, and I'm going to bring them in a minute. I've got my buddy Robert. How you doing today, Robert?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
It was crazy, man. I called it putting 10 pounds of shit into a 2-pound bag. Today I woke up, I had a workout with Team YRG members who just happened to be here, Helene and Sandy. They came and we did a kick-ass YRG workout at my house today. And then right from there, I jumped in the shower and ran over, met with my inspirational coach, Dan Clark, who has really been a great guide to me. And a lot of that you see and listen to and live life 90% and own your life, a lot of things he triggered in me and helped me bring them out and, you know, maybe tweaked it a little bit here and there. He's a very good friend of mine, so I wanted to get over there and see him. And then I ran right to go see my buddy Danny Trejo, who I just happened to be in Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror with, but I also was in Devil's Rejects, which that's a really disturbing movie. I wouldn't recommend it to any women unless you really like gory horror stuff because it's really disturbing. It was a classic, and I've been fortunate enough to be in that, and it was a lot of fun for me filming with Danny. And we filmed another movie called Vengeance. Well, actually, it was called Jack's Law a while ago, and what they wanted to show me was they went back and did a bunch of reshoots. And do you know what Danny Trejo is, Robert? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a legend. Yeah, he's a. Mm-hmm. Angie, I'm on the phone, just so you know, because I'm doing the show, okay, babe? And yeah, I'm doing the show right now, honey. So Angie can walk it in, and I know she's going to want to talk, but I haven't seen her all day. Danny, he's a legend. He's the, for those of you who don't know the name Danny Trejo, he's the Mexican guy who's got the big sombrero, the girl with the, who had a big sombrero on his chest, filling up his whole chest and numerous other tattoos. He's got quite a story. He's a guy who was literally went to San Quentin. A gang member back in the day, and he turned it around in prison, came out, got sober, and I got sober in prison, but he came out and turned his whole life around and started out being just, you know, the bad guy, you know, or bad guy number one. He said in the beginning, the first four movies he made, he never had a name. He was just, you know, thug number two, whatever. And he worked his way. If you look up Danny Trejo in IMDb, you'll see a list, a plethora of movies that he's been in. And we did this movie about 2 years ago where he plays like what you call it? Like Charlie Bronson. You've seen Charlie Bronson films, right, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know, like a vigilante. And I'm the bad guy. And in this movie, I am real. I would be the antithesis of Diamond Dallas Page, Mr. Team YRG. He's a bad, bad guy. And because, you know, a hero is only defined by the size of his opponent. And I made myself as bad as I could be in that flick. Took every ounce of negative energy and put it into that character. And they say it came out great. I have yet to see it yet. But what's really great is Danny's got his big movie coming up with Rodriguez, the director. I can't remember his name, Daniel Rodriguez, or the guy who did the same movies with he did God, what's that movie that he did? He's done so many. I'm thinking myself of tongue tags. I can't remember the movies that he's done, but he's done a ridiculous amount of movies that have been big, but they're sort of like Tarantino type movies. Matter of fact, do you remember when Tarantino did that movie where he did like, it was like the drive-in movies? Did you see that when that came out? They were putting two 90-minute movies together. Rodriguez.
Yeah, Death Proof. Yeah.
Right, right. Well, either way, he's a director of that. But this is a big movie for Danny. It's called Machete, and De Niro's in it. He plays the senator. Jessica Alba's in it. The Hispanic chick that was in, can't remember her name right now, but that was in Avatar, who's the helicopter driver. I mean, there's a huge, big-name cast in this, and he's the star. So we might be able to, you know, we never, you know, even put Vengeance out there. So now it's been reshot. So this whole movie, Machete, could catapult Vengeance, which would be great for me. I don't think people would really be drawn to YRG by watching me in it. But overall, it was a great day. And then I ran and got massaged and came back, and I was hitting all the crazy traffic to get here. So that's my really long story to get here. So now let's get into some YRG business. I personally called Stacy up and Doug and asked them if they'd come in and do the show because Doc couldn't do it this week anyway, because it was he actually would have done Thursday, but he couldn't do today. So I wanted to have some people that we could actually talk about things that are like-minded, and I think you might learn something from a lot of the things that will come out today. And one of the first things I want to bring Stacy on first. And Stace, you sent me a comment about someone saying, wow, that friend of yours is really fit. First of all, before you even answer that, how are you, Stacy? How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's great to be back.
Yeah. What's your day been like so far?
Mostly at the computer, doing some writing assignments. And then I did a six-mile walk and went to the gym. I've been YRG, though, has been a huge lifesaver for the heat wave.
Oh, I'll bet.
I can stay indoors and do it, you know?
Right.
And I don't have to stop, you know, exercising. But today was the day when I got out. I just felt I really needed to move a lot, so I did.
Well, tremendous, tremendous. So the comment that you had sent me, where someone had said to you that, I guess it was a group of friends of yours, had said to them, that friend of yours looks, she's really fit.
Yeah.
So what did that make you feel like?
I really, my brain stopped. I had to stop and just it stopped me in my tracks. I was trying to process it because, you know I look different. I know I'm a lot lighter, but my perception of myself, I get, hasn't caught up with how others are seeing me. And this was a person who, he wasn't comparing the old me and the current me.
He didn't know you before that, right?
No, he had never seen me before. And he said to my friend, I can just tell by the way she walks, you know, by the way she moves that she's fit. And I was in total shock. But I guess I don't have to be because I've been working at it, you know, and I am fit.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, a lot of the things, like, especially when we all have a vision in ourselves in the mirror what we look like. And when I was younger, I was really skinny. I mean, I was 6'4", 145 pounds. You know, 165 pounds, which is really skinny. I was all skin and bones. And as I started, as I got older and matured and started to put on muscle weight, I still saw that skinny guy. You know, and I was way too skinny. I was like skeleton-like skinny. And it took me a long time to start to really see the person that I was becoming. And same thing goes back when you lose that weight. And you got to realize you are fit. I mean, you did a marathon last year, you know?
Yeah, and I didn't realize that it really, truly translates now to how I look and how I move.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And another thing here, first of all, I'm going to bring Doug on, too. Doug, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great.
And you can tell that Doug has a whole new phone.
Well, you know, Robert told me, I think what it was is I was putting on speakerphone instead of just using his regular phone. And he said, don't put it on speakerphone. I said, that's probably what caused the problem. But I got a regular phone now, so we're good.
Well, dude, now it's like really clean. Sort of like now we actually got it where there's no reverb or whatever. So we'll finally get someone, not today or next week, that'll call in that'll have problems with it. But the group right here will not, and that's a blessing. So what's your day been like, bro?
Oh, it's been really good. You know, I go to work really early. Went to work, came back, ate, because one of the things I do is I eat early. You know, I try not to eat after, like, I try to eat around 5 o'clock if I can, my last meal. And then I just was kind of feeling a little tired, and I put my daily blog on YRG, or my daily form as far as what I eat and my workout, and I said, you know what, I don't care if I'm feeling it or not, I'm going to go ahead and do, and every time I don't feel like doing anything, I always do the mixed DVD, because it's a combination of everything. And so I said, I haven't done my workout yet, but I will do the mixed DVD, you know, and so I got the mixed DVD in through some, you know, and I, one of the things I've been doing is just changing everything up. I just went straight to 10-second push-ups. You know, did a 40-second push-up at the end, and I've been working on a handstand, so I do a 1-minute wall handstand.
Wow, so, that's good, man. That's challenging too.
You know, I know.
One of the things that we were both talking about, me and you, and me and Stacy were talking about setting new goals, and because you both have just, you know, knocked it out. Stacy losing 150 pounds in 15 months and you losing 100 pounds in 9 months. I mean, that's, you know, they're not Biggest Loser numbers, but in the real world, they're huge Biggest Loser numbers, you know, when you have a real life to live. You know, you're not on a ranch, you know, and you're being guided in working out 6 hours a day. So, Stacy, let's talk about yours first. Where are you at with that?
Well, my immediate next goal is to hit 180, and then.
And what made you come up with that?
I don't know. Maybe because I was, you know, I haven't been that weight since I was in junior high. You know, it's just I feel pretty good. I mean, I feel good, and I'm starting to like the way I look.
That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, it is, and. It feels like it would be a comfortable goal for me. It's not too low, and I just want to see how I look and feel when I get there. And I've said all along, I'm going to let my body decide this time. So it may want to go lower, and it probably will. But you know, that's my next, you know, milepost.
Well, for anyone who's listening right now, you know, and we have a lot of women and men out there, you know, who lose that. Like I have two friends of mine who both lost 100 pounds. Guys, one lost 150, and they stayed there, and they stayed there, and then they slowly gained it back. It slowly fell off. It's all about resetting your goals. And it got to a point, and you'll notice, because remember when you were saying to me that you were going to set a new goal, notice I never said anything to you. Because, I mean, 150 is a huge goal to hit. And it was months, you know, where you wanted to just level off and see that you could control that before you had the confidence. Or what do you think it was that finally has made you say, okay, now it's time?
I guess because I was feeling that sort of, you know, drift of not having something to really hang on to shoot for.
Right.
And I didn't like that feeling.
That's
And I know
huge.
That's the kind of feeling that can eventually very subtly cause a backslide. So, and I would not have thought of that if you hadn't brought it up. You know, I was just, you know, because I have lost a lot of weight, and it's easy to kind of sit back and just say, well, you know, I can relax a little, but you know, I don't want to always be obsessed with my weight, but I do need to pay attention. I just have to be aware, you know, or else.
I think it's the same way an alcoholic needs to be aware, especially if an alcoholic just has a problem with drinking, but when it changes their personality and it becomes a problem from everywhere else around them, mm-hmm. that's when an alcoholic really needs to be aware. That they can't, maybe they can't ever go into a bar again. Maybe they can finally go to a party where there's booze and not have it. I know plenty of alcoholics. I mean, I'm in L.A. I think a lot of people go to Alcoholics Anonymous just to make contacts. And I'm serious. I swear to God, you know, that they come in there and tell their story just so they can be heard and get to meet people. Because there's so many people out here who are alcoholics. But on the same way with a foodaholic and having, you know, lost 100 pounds, this is your third time, but you went past 100, went right to 150. Mm-hmm. I think it's so huge that anyone who's listening, they've always got to be setting new goals. And let's talk about, let's say 180 is where you want to be and you feel phenomenal there. There still needs to be a new goal. And it doesn't have to revolve around weight.
Right. Well, you remember what I told you last week, what I asked you to teach me?
Right, right. Say it on the air.
I asked if you would teach me how to fight.
And I said, I'm a TV fighter.
And what I'm talking about the barroom, you know, like I just want to have, I want to know that I can do it. And because I've, you know, in school, like when the kids picked on me, I never fought back. And it's just a part of myself that never got developed. And I want to tap into it. I don't want to go out there and fight, you know what I mean? But I want to get that sort of, you know, the energy going in that direction.
It's a confidence.
You know what I mean?
It's a confidence. It's A to Z, a confidence. And that's what I was trying to tell you, you know, like whether it's boxing classes
right.
or jujitsu. Like Steve Austin is one of my good buddies out here, and you know we have been for years in a wrestling ring, but we live a mile from. We used to live together here in Los Angeles, and you know we've been working. He's going to do another movie, and I've been helping him prepare for it. And he's playing a boxer, you know, that took a bad hit and now is a janitor, and he helps his kid. It's sort of like a karate. I'll shut that bit. It's sort of like a Karate Kid movie, similar to that, but it's around boxing. And Steve has gone for boxing lessons, you know.
Yeah.
So if Steve Austin can go for boxing lessons, so could you. Now, if that's what you like, my niece loves it. I couldn't get her to do YRG is like pulling teeth. My niece Lexi lives it and loves it. My sister loves it. My other niece, that's not her thing. So for Christmas, she got the Wii boxing game. Oh, God, she was so funny on that, but she loved it. Got a lot of aggression, too, you know, which I'm sure you could use a little, burn it off a little aggression, too, because there's still those demons there. So I would suggest boxing classes or jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is something that, you know, there's a lot of different dojos around. And just Google in your particular area. Did you do that?
No, but I did. I called a boxing coach, so I
okay.
need to start that.
But I want you, no matter what, after a month of that, to at least take a couple of jiu-jitsu classes to see if you do or you don't like it. Because really grabbing someone and pulling someone and holding them, because The odds of you becoming someone, you know, going, you just punch them in the nose. But if someone grabs you, and what you would learn from jiu-jitsu, like, if it's wear and tear on your body, but you've not really had any. I've had a ton of it. But if I was to do anything right now, I would. That's what I would study. I would study Brazilian jiu-jitsu just because of the craft. And you don't have to really beat each other up. But one of my best friends, Marlon, his son, he's amazing little, you know, roller, they call it, rolling. And just learning how to get in from one move to the other, like moves that you can put someone in and literally choke them out, break their arm. And it's a feeling of power when they have to tap out. And that's the thing. With boxing, you don't want to knock anybody out. You're really hitting someone's one thing. Getting hit, that's a whole different animal. When you get hit, you go, whoa, what was that? So just, you know that going in, because it is a physical thing, but I think you'll be just fine.
Okay,
Dougie,
I still want you to teach me to throw a good one.
I promise. Finally get together, and that's one of the things you'll notice, I put that up there. And for anybody who is not gone to Team YRG and listened to this, I'm putting together, and I don't know where the location is. I'm looking at Florida right now, maybe Tampa. Maybe I'll go over towards Fort Lauderdale. I'm looking for the best deal for the best place, because it's really not so much the place as it is the people that'll be there. And I want to keep it to around 40 or 50 people, no more than that, because I want to have individual attention to everyone. And for right now, I'm calling it a retreat, but I'll come up with a better name than that. And that's where, no matter what states, we'll be there 3 days, 5 days, or seven, because I'm going to be there for a whole 7. And depending on the financial situation of everybody, whether they can come for 3, 5, or 7 days, it'll, you know, I'm just really working it all out now, because I have to find a place that will work with me on the food. Because obviously, if I'm going to do like a health camp, so to speak, you know, that's, you know, all about inspiration and positive energy and just in bonding, because so many people have gotten to know each other but never met. Like, when I love to tell the story when I'm going out pitching my show right now, which, for lack of a better name, I'm calling Mr. DDP's Neighborhood, I say, you know, I show them producers, I tell them what I've done. I show them the Arthur video. I show them Terry's pictures. I show them Stacy's pictures, and I show them Dylan's pictures. So it's, you know, the guy, the gals, and the kid. And I said, what my idea is, instead of going in like Jillian's going into someone's town into someone's home for a week, and then comes back 6 weeks later and see what they learn, I want to go into their house for 6 months. And I might be with a whole family that's obese. Maybe one kid isn't. Maybe all of them are. Maybe everyone is. But I'm with them a couple of days a week. Then I'm with a disabled veteran for a couple of days a week. And then I'm with a woman who feels like, you know, she's lost her way. She may be 50, 60, 80, 100, whatever. Whatever weight it is, out and help them own their lives and change it around by leading by example. And one of my goals is to bring in some of my members of Team YRG, not just pitchers and stuff, but to actually meet these people. So when I tell them what I'm doing, you know, what I want to do, I go, by the way, Arthur, I met him once over the entire journey. Stacy, I still have never met her. And they go, what? And I said, well, that comes down to what this Team YRG is. It just isn't me. It's everyone. It's a support group. It's a support system. So that's what my goal is to have this show, and that's what I'm really working towards, along with trying to get movie roles and stuff to keep me here in L.A. But like I said, for this retreat that we're going to do, if you haven't already gone on this site and gone to my blog and just said interested, you know, definitely be interested. According to all, I'm sure it'll all come down to the price, but I'm going to make that the best price I can so that everybody, you know, can come. Then it'll be first come, first serve. That's how it'll work out. So we will get back to you, Stacy. And Stacy, if you hear anything Doug's saying, that Copson or Doug, you too. I mean, this is a conversation. I don't want it to be just me, then her. I mean, this is like we talk. I want, you know, if there was six of us here, I'd want people stepping in and going, saying something. So, Dougie, Yeah, I didn't do this on purpose, where I actually thought, where here's two people who have had huge success with YRG and the whole owning your life, you know, and the Team YRG situation, but we're both ready to set new goals. So what brought this whole on for you?
Well, you know, after I did my 9 months and I lost my 100 pounds and I hurt my shoulder, I was kind of on a setback, and it was a little bit depressing at first. Because, you know, I was like a freight train, and then I felt like I got derailed. And and it was really hard at first, but I just said, okay, let me go ahead and do what I can do. And my initial concern was I'm going to put the weight back on. But actually I lost weight because I had changed my life and I was still eating the same way. But
right.
I knew it couldn't continue forever because, you know, so I said, let me get back into the workouts. Well, I was only able to do like one a week, maybe two, and then I was going to get acupuncture and just take care of myself. And at that time I also learned – I got to take care of my body. I have changed my life. I'm going to continue to live this way, and you know, I'll be okay. Now it's time to rest my body and let it heal properly, rather than try to rush it back. Because as I tell everybody on the site, it's for your life. It's not a quick fix. It's not a pill that, you know, this is for life. So if it's a setback that you get, you know, there's a lot of people that get setbacks. Then, you know, so be it. You'll get over it and get back on it and you know, keep going forward. So for me, I was stuck on that. And then that went on for about, that was April, so April, May, and then you and I were talking, and then you came down here for the tattoo convention and everything that we did on a base. And I knew I had to write new goals, but I was kind of like, okay, where do I want to go? You know, initially I was like, I want to get to 200. When I started this journey, I said, I want to get to 200 pounds, and I'm going to do it by this time. Well, as I went, I said, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to, and I, just like what Stacy said, wherever my body tells me is the best is where I'm going to be. So I said, I feel comfortable now, but I remember when you were here and you said, lift up your shirt, and you said, you know, if you lost a little bit more, you'd have, you know, some kick-ass abs. And
I also said to you, lift up your shirt. You see, you look pretty, you look amazingly better.
Yeah.
But you look pretty good there. But if you just do this, if you just lose this, I'm looking at your abs.
Yeah. And so that's what I did, and that's when I sat down and asked you, okay, well, what do I need to do? And I, you know, because me, I'm the type of person, I'll do anything it takes. And so I went ahead and we discussed it, and I wrote down everything that I wanted to do and how I was going to eat, ran some stuff by you, and that's how I set my new goals. And then I already started thinking about, because Stacy and I were actually talking about this, and we're actually a little bit different, and I can't remember if we brought this up yet, about her being a little afraid to lose the last 30 pounds. Have we talked about that yet or no?
Yeah, no.
No,
okay.
We'll get to that. We'll get to
I'll,
that.
I'll wait for that part. Because that's one thing we differ on, you know. And I told Stacy.
Wait,
when
segue into that. Let's say it. So, Stace, what about that?
Yeah, I could feel myself, you know, not wanting to get there. And I was starting to question, you know, why and what is this about? And there's some sort of thing in my brain that is saying, like, well, that's going to be the end of the line. And then what? Because my whole, you know, since I was 8 years old, there's always been the thing with weight and trying to lose it and trying to, you know, manipulate it and what am I going to have without it? I mean, even though it's a negative thing, it's so wrapped up in my life, in the thread of my life, that there's a part of me that really is, I don't know, I should want to be really ready to let it go, but it's a weird thing. I just,
well,
what
it's
am
like
I going to do when I get there?
But it's like anything. You know, let me interject for Dell. Give it right to you, Doug.
Okay.
If when I was trying to, I'll give you just a different example of this. When I was trying to get from just a job guy, in other words, a guy who got beaten in professional wrestling, I just wanted to get to be a middle guy. And when I didn't want to say I could be a top guy, you know, right away, because that would be like unthinkable. I didn't start wrestling until I was 35. You know, so I mean, it was unthinkable that I would ever have that ability to get there. But once I got to that middle spot, I thought, I can do this. And I thought, all I got to do is get to that top spot. And when I finally got there, it was like amazing. But then I realized it's not getting there that's hard. It's staying there way harder than just go. You know, because now you got to, you know, so many things happen in your life. So what were you going to add in, Doug?
That's exactly what I was going to say. And, you know, for me, I'm not, you know, there was one thing you guys hit on earlier about, you know, seeing yourself as you were, you know, and I don't see myself, you know, previously. I kind of just tried to let all that stuff go because I know where I don't want to go. And by holding those thoughts will kind of sometimes drag me towards that. But you are exactly right. It's, you know, half the battle is getting to where you want to get to, and the other half is staying there. You know, and that's with anything in life. You know, you can't just sit there and just like if you're in a relationship or whatever, you know, you do everything you can to get the person, and then after that you just let it go, you know. You can't do that. You got to, you know, it's a constant, you know, fight to stay there. So I'm looking forward to getting there and not losing, you know. I just want to get rid of the last little bit, and then it's going to be, okay, let me set these new goals and work on just staying there.
Well, one of the things, Stace, that, you know, it's been inbred into you, but you know what? You've re-bred yourself, so to speak, you know, and you've reprogrammed your mind. You've rebooted your computer. It's just something else you've got to put in there. And, you know, once you get there, and you're one of the reasons why I believe both of you have had so much success is because you're such a part of the inspirational part of Team YRG. I mean, you know, Jamie, you, Richard, I mean, the people, you know, who constantly are coming on there and welcoming people to the site. But it's not just welcoming them. It's welcoming them and leading by example. And what I found when I was wrestling again, everything revolves around wrestling, I think. We don't believe anything's real because, you know, if some basketball game the other team won, we think it's fixed. You know, because wrestling, everything's a work. Except for what you're sure is absolutely is bullshit is real. So that's where it all comes full circle. But if anybody understood that. It's when I went down to the power plant and was teaching the younger guys how to work, how to wrestle, I found that the more I taught, the more I learned, the better I got. You both came here looking for inspiration to Team YRG. You found it. You grabbed a hold of it. You gave it back, and then you continue to give it back. And, you know, and that's huge because when you're there and you're teaching people, you're in that moment. When you're inspiring people, when you're taking on people like Doug, tell the story about the person who just came on to Team YRG. What's her name?
Well, her name is Diane Sanders. And it was really funny because when you were down here, you know, we met so many people at tattoo convention giving out the cards. So all of a sudden, about a week later, all of a sudden somebody pops up, and I always check where they're from, and she was from Canyon Lake, Texas. And I said, oh, wow, that's really close to me. That's about 30 minutes away. So, you know, I was, hey, welcome, how are you, all this other stuff. And she wrote back, and then I wrote back and said, I noticed you're from this area. And so we started our conversation back and forth. And I've been telling, like, and I told you this, and I tell everybody this, man, I just need somebody that I can work with one-on-one, work on my certification, work on helping out. And it's just going to, like what you were just talking about in the power plant, help somebody one-on-one where I can better myself. And all of a sudden, she just shot this email out of the blue, and it just said, I want to know if you can help me. You know, I would like, you know, to pick your brain, to work with you. Can you, you know, basically she just reached out, and I said, oh, my God, it's like a prayer being answered. And she came down last Sunday, or I believe it was Sunday. We sat here for about 5 hours. I, you know, just went over everything. I showed her, you know, my pictures, the pantry, and she picked my brain. We went through all those questions. I ran her through the Diamond Dozen and then also through an energy workout. And now she's already told somebody else and going to bring somebody else down here. So it just – and this was all just whatever. You know, it's just – all just popped up out of the blue.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, everything happens for a reason even when it's wrong. That's my new line, even when it's wrong, especially when it's wrong. And sometimes that could be the best thing. I was telling you about that movie earlier that the guy who's the director, he had to go to prison for 2 years. And whatever the charge was is irrelevant. He did his time. He got out. While he was there, he made the most of it. You know, he sulked, he boo-booed, but at the same time, he turned his life back around and rewrote the script. And if we would have gone out with that movie 2 years ago, it would have never done anything. Now, because of Danny's new movie coming out, Machete, all of a sudden we got some real buzz on that Vengeance movie. So maybe it'll actually get seen. So, you know, in Hollywood, there's so many things that get made that never get seen, but everything happens for a reason. You can do what you want with it. You can make it your own. And in this scenario, I was telling Doug, because, you know, when I say, okay, take me through some moves, it can be pretty daunting. I know. I don't see it like that.
Well, you know, I tell people that. I say, you know, as much as, you know, I know him now and he's my friend, I said, it's almost like trying to teach Bill Gates computers. I said, this is the guy who founded it. You know, it's very kind of nerve-wracking and stuff like that, but...
Well, hopefully, you know, eventually you'll get by that. And for people who do want to get certification, a certified YRG instructor, I'm doing it over the internet. I've written the copy. The only reason I didn't post it in the last week is because I've posted so many things. And if you haven't seen that Barack video that I don't remember who stuck up there on Team YRG, go see it. Me singing my William Shatner type voice. It's pretty funny. And there's also something pretty inspiring there. Brett Wilkerson, met him with his dad and his family. His mom and sister came to meet me in Atlanta and had him set some goals. And he's a great kid and works hard. And he set a goal. He was going to read my book from cover to cover, which is not a short read. It's 340 pages. And he'd never read a book that far. And I told him when he finally achieved his goal, I would spend 30 minutes talking about wrestling to him. And it was his dad who actually was the bigger fan of mine, and he introduced my stuff because it's all on YouTube. And so he's all excited about that. But he took his goals up a step farther, and he said he was going to get in Crow, Black Crow, and hold it for 60 seconds. That's a long time. And he did it, so I was so inspired by that, I put a video that was inspired by Brett and to show where you could go from Black Crow and having your knees on your elbows and sticking that leg in the air and then bring it back down. Then I taught you how to, on the video, I teach you how to fall, because it's really important when you're trying to do that move to know how to land on your butt so you don't hurt yourself. And then eventually I popped both legs up in the air and held there and talked to everybody. And I, to be perfectly honest, I hadn't warmed up. I hadn't done anything. I just called cameras on, and I really don't want to have to do this twice. So, you know, it's about, I don't even know how I got off on that tangent. I think it was about setting goals. But back to certification, I'm going to put that email up there, which will tell you how to get certified and what it costs, and I will actually go through each and every one of you and critique it myself and then give you suggestions, okay? Then go back and redo whatever I'm saying. So be looking for that. And when with the big thing, though, and this is why I brought this up, Doug getting to train – what's this woman's name again?
Diane,
yeah, okay. Getting to train Diane, because just like what Angie started or Diane Douglas started or anybody who's training, you know, wants to get certified, they've got to be able to take themselves through a workout and telling themselves where to go and then teaching someone else. And that's how you're going to learn, by teaching someone else. And that's, you know, it goes back to the more you teach, the more you learn. The more you learn, the better you get.
And, you know, another thing on that is it actually really, really helped me out with the modified moves because, you know, and it made me think of what Stacy said on the last blog radio about, can you help me with the push-ups? Because that was one thing I really focused on. I said, okay, let me see exactly everything that you can do that's going to be able to help you out. And it really helped on the modification.
Yeah, and like when I look at, and I must have seen Arthur's video, when I tell you 5,000 times, I don't think I'm exaggerating. But every time I watch it, when I get to the part where he's using that chair, I have to look at the people and say the same thing. I would never have thought of that. Why would I? I mean, I remember when I first came up with modifications to the spot, because I'd been to so many yoga classes that never told me how to modify. You know, they told me to ease up and don't push yourself, don't go too hard. But what did that mean? You know, and then I would actually film the first time I ever filmed myself. And that's another thing that's great. If you want to get certified, film yourself and watch yourself. Listen to yourself. Could you follow you? And I don't mean just mimic you. Could you listen to you and follow you? Well, I filmed an hour and 20-minute workout at Saddam Hussein's palace with Black Hawk helicopters flying by. It was pretty wild. That was right after, we went in there. It was a place called Camp Victory, and Saddam Hussein had seven palaces all in this huge lake, and I was doing YRG and filming it there. And then I broke it down to an hour workout, a 40-minute workout, and a 20-minute workout, and I sent it to my buddy Smokey. And I was calling it back then still YRG, but Yoga for Regular Guys. And it was mainly towards guys before it actually wrote the book or any of that. And Smokey said, "I guess I'm not a regular guy anymore, Dally. I can't do it. It's too hard." I go, "What do you mean? It's only 20 minutes. He goes, "You're not 270 pounds. And I went, "Oh, okay, I didn't think that." I said, "You know what? Bullshit. I'm going to modify that." And that's where 50 plus came from, which later would be, what the energy would be in the modified moves. Because actually, energy, if you're doing the modified moves, that's 10 times easier than 50 plus if you're doing the modifications. So, to that credit, that's what we got for certification. Anything you want to add in there, Stace?
Oh, no, just that it's nice to have something to shoot for again.
And it's always about reinventing it, reinventing yourself, reinventing the goal, I'm working on, I'll give you something for me. Cause it's always like, what can I do that will make people go, "Oh my God, how do you do that?" The foot up in the air is one thing, put my knees in the elbows, push up into a handstand is another. What I'm trying to do now, which I can't do, is go up in a handstand and pick my feet off the ground and just lift them up. Now I've seen a lot of guys do it, and gals, and it's a lot of it's shoulder strength, but they're also much smaller than I am, and there's all that length, but I'm trying now to lift my feet. I'm doing one leg at a time, going up and down. Another thing I'm doing is, and I'm going to call it the yoga name for what it is, because it's called Uddiyana Bandha. And it means rolling your stomach around. It doesn't mean that, but it's an Indian thing where they literally can roll their diaphragm in a circle. And right now I'm just getting to where I can breathe, take my diaphragm all the way up into my chest. And I'll tell you what, it takes breathing to a whole nother level. I had a guy named Ricky Tran, who is probably one of the youngest mega up-and-coming yogi stars on the planet. This guy was a meth head, big time, for most of his 20s. And then one day he found himself in a yoga studio, and before you knew it, he was getting off the meth, and that's like one of the hardest things in the world to kick. And one day he just realized that this meth is getting in the way of his yoga, and this guy can do stuff that is totally freaky. Like, he's in 6 years, he's studying everything. He reminds me of Arthur when he wants all of the knowledge. And I actually use him as a personal trainer at times to come in and teach me this Uddiyana Bandha when he was in town. And it's a lot of work. But
put a video up of that, of you doing it?
I will have Ricky send me a video of what it's supposed to look like. And I actually am going to film where I'm at. I actually filmed where I started, which was nothing. You think you're doing something, but you're really doing nothing because you have the film. And then I have somewhere in the middle of it, and then I'm going to film where I am now, and I'll make that into a little video, but I'll show you what it's supposed to look like. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it the way he does it, because I believe he's a vegetarian too, so there's like no meat in his system, but it's really amazing. And it takes when people suck their stomach in, they suck it back. Well, which you really will look much thinner if you suck your diaphragm up. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm learning how to do. And I actually was with my girl, Stacy today, Sandy, and she's my deep muscle massage therapist out here in LA. And she does Heller work, where she gets really into the deep tissue. And I was showing her where I was at right now. She goes, "Wow, you can really see you're starting to get it." Now, it's a long way. It's like, wow, maybe level 2 on a 1 to 10. But for me, it's a big deal. And she said, "I'll bet you we can get in there and loosen that up as well." Because it's like For my knees, one of the things I've been doing is sitting on blocks because I can't sit on my heels the way I could before the operation. But now I am down to two blocks. And in one block, I would be sitting on my heels. So slowly I'm breaking up that scar tissue, and that's what's so important, you hurt, we all hurt ourselves. We've all fallen off our bike, and your brain's like a computer, you know? So I will be taking a film of that because I want people to see the transition. But again,
what does that do? Does it strengthen the stomach muscles? Is that the idea behind it?
That's one of the things, but it also it massages. It literally, what I do is I breathe it in, I push out all the air, and then I literally with my diaphragm I pull it up under my rib cage. And then you let it go, and you let it go soft. Then you pull it up, and you let it go. Pull it up, you let it go. And this is with no breath. You've pushed all the air out. So maybe you could do it two or three times in the beginning. I get to 7, or I get to 10 once in a while, and you don't feel like you're going to pass out, but, I mean, you really need air. But when you really get in control of your breath, and it's your mind as well, and this is a fact, now he can do it 10 times one way, swirl his stomach. I'm not even swirl. I'm probably a year away from, getting where I could turn my stomach, if I'm ever going to be able to do it. He can turn it 10 ways one time and then 10 times back the other way. He said there are yogis in India who can spin it 100 times one way and 100 back the other way.
Wow.
No breath. He also can. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, that reminds me because when we met him in Houston and he did that, I don't know whose jaw dropped further, yours or mine. We were like, oh, my God.
Right. You were there, Doug.
Yeah. It was crazy because remember he started off by doing the, he did the handstand and he brought his legs. It was doing some crazy stuff. And then he did the stomach. I mean, it looked like somebody was just taking his stomach and like Play-Doh, just kneading his stomach and rolling. It was crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And now that I've done some research, I realize that, in India, the big yogis say you can do it. But over here in this country, nah. Mostly because people don't have the patience. And I'm not a big guy on patience, but I'm trying to reprogram my brain. You hear that, Stace?
Yeah.
I'm trying. It doesn't happen overnight. I was working out with my buddy Matt the other day. He's an actor here in town. He's been in a bunch of things. You might know him if you've seen him. He's a really great guy. And he comes over and he does the workout with me at my level. And we were just hitting it really, really hard. God, why did I bring that up? God, I forgot why I brought that up. My ADD.
Programming? Did it
touch? Oh, yes. Thank you. Paul, good job. Good job. He said something. I can't do it yet. No, he's
nice.
He's heard the talks. He's seen it. He told me he was there when I did live life at 90%, and he actually said that it was a really tough time in his he was hitting right there. He said, "You have no idea, D, what that talk did for me that day." He goes, "It brought me out of my funk." He goes, "The energy was amazing. That room was amazing." And, if you're feeling down, like I put that pictures up when me and Doug went to the Intrepid Center. You think you're having a bad day, go check out the Wounded Warriors. Those guys, and nobody there was bitching to me about anything. If anybody had a reason to bitch, it'd be those guys. Because that's, that's a challenge right there, You think you're having a bad day, just think of that the last bum you saw on the street who isn't out there hustling money. He's there or she's there because they have to be, so many people out on the street. So we're all so fortunate. Anybody who's listening to this program is very, very fortunate. One of the things that we were talking about with Ricky, he did this thing where he put his hands on the ground and then he crossed his legs, but he wasn't sitting on the ground. He was standing there and I could do it on my fist. But he was doing it on his hands, and he could actually do it on three fingers. And then he tucked his feet and straightened them straight up into the air in a handstand. Then he crossed them and came back down into some other position. I was like, oh, my God. He's a freak. But this is a guy who practices for 2.5 hours and then teaches. You know, so it's you get out of life, or you get out of YRG, or you get out of yoga, what you put into it. You know, simple as that.
You know, I wanted to say one thing about reprogramming, and I brought this up as Stacy and I were talking about, and she was the thing about being fit. And I brought up, I said, well, you know what, Stacy, I guarantee you if you did this and you put the pictures of you as you are now and just put them out to people that don't know and say, do you think I'm fit? And see what they come back and say. You know, so it maybe it'll help, you know, get your mind thinking of how you are now, not how you were in the past.
Yeah, I think that's just going to take a little time, but it's already happening. It's, you know, the shift has started. I can feel it.
That's a good word, shift, because that's what it is. That's what it is. I'm going to close this off when we get to an hour today, so we got about another 10 minutes. So anything you want to bring up or anything, Stace? Anything on your mind?
Well, something you were saying a minute ago reminded me of one other thing I haven't mastered yet, and that is sitting back on my heels. And I don't have any injuries. I don't know if it's just genetics or what, but is there any way I can strengthen my knees? Or
does it hurt you?
It hurts, yeah.
Okay, is it uncomfortable?
It's uncomfortable. I can do it if I support, you know, one hand on either side, but if I tried to let go, it would be pretty.
Okay,
maybe
I'm going to.
And just see what happens.
No, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let me, I'm working on it right now. You see, my right knee, when I was 12 years old, I stepped out looking at my buddy and saying, hold the bus, looking at the bus, but not looking at the car that was about to slam into my right knee. My face bounced off the hood, and I flew 45 feet from the point of impact. They thought I was dead. It was in the snow. And my knee, remember, I'm 54 now, so this is 42 years ago. There was no such thing as rehab back then. So you got your knee operated on. You got your cartilage sewed back together. You got some huge scar on your knee. And then you just weren't allowed to play football or hockey anymore, and that was my games. So I had to play basketball, the game I sucked at the most. But I played over that in seventh grade. I didn't make the team. Eighth grade, I sat on the bench. Ninth grade, I started. But over that eighth grade summer, I played 5 hours a day every single day. And I got to where I could start. By the time I was a sophomore, I was starting on varsity. My point is work ethic equals results, but I never fixed that knee. I worked around it, so I could only bend my knee so far. So over the next would be, 12 to 40, it was like about 46, so 34 years, I never bent that knee past 9, probably, I don't know if it's, it would be 90 degrees, but if I was kneeling down, when I went to try to sit on my heels, I was at least 12 inches from my heels because my right knee wouldn't bend any farther than that. And then one day I was thinking to myself, why? Why is that happening? Why has it been like that all this time? It's like rust. It's like hard rust, and I can't do it. And it was really uncomfortable. If I stayed there too long, it started to hurt. So there's a difference, and you have to understand. You got to listen to your body. I think you're getting pretty good at that now, Stacy. You know, you got to listen to your body. So what I would do, and I will show you, I'll make this video up tomorrow, and I'll put it up there, and I'll say rehabbing your knees, how I'm doing it, how I did it before when it was just my knee. Now, neither knee was bothering me, so I went to sit back, and it was so uncomfortable, and I would just breathe in and breathe out. And I'd stay as long as I could, and then I'd lean forward and push my hands on it to straighten my legs out. You know, I'd go right into like something like a down dog. Well, actually, it was down dog. To walk the dog, and then I'd go back into it again, and I'd do it three times. And it would be so uncomfortable, but all of a sudden I realized I'm getting a little lower. Maybe this is starting to work. So I kept doing it, and it was uncomfortable. Before you know it, though, I was sitting on my heels, but I couldn't push out. I'd have to fall forward and push myself on my hands, on my legs to get out. That's how I would do it because I couldn't come straight up. So what I did is I started to support with my hands, and push my hands and my body. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm pushing myself up. I'll show you tomorrow. I'm going to make this video tomorrow, and I'll put it up by the weekend and show you how I would practice coming out of it. Now I'm in a different spot. My right knee I could bend completely. The left one, because of scar tissue from the surgery, has built up. So now I can only bend that so far. But it's so much farther today than it was 2 weeks, well, 3 weeks ago was when I re-injured my knee. And I was doing a back bend that was, you know, from pinfall. I was trying to push up in the bridge into wheel. And when I went into wheel, Ricky was there to help push me up a little higher. And I used my legs, because you really use your legs if you're going up in the wheel. And my knee wasn't ready for that, and it popped again. So it took me back a week and a half. I didn't do anything over the weekend. I iced. And if you're going to practice this, Stacy, as soon as you're done, have the ice bags ready and wrap them with ACE bandages. If you have, you should have at least a, what I do for my knees, I wrap two ice bags around my left knee because my right knee is fine now. My bad knee is my good knee. So I'll show you what I'm doing. I'm putting blocks underneath me. Do you have yoga blocks?
No.
Get some?
Okay.
And I'll show you how to use them in the video tomorrow. And this is one of the things for rehabbing the knees that I wanted to help people with, because it really comes down to being uncomfortable. And that's where breathing, whole different level. Because what do they, when a woman's having a baby, what do they tell her? What's the most important thing she has to do?
Breathe.
Breathe and focus. Yeah. Breathe and focus. Same thing. Mm-hmm. You know? At least you don't have any kids shooting at you, you know what I mean? It's just your knees are uncomfortable. And you can always go into down dog.
How long do you hold it down there?
Not in the beginning, not long. I'll show you tomorrow, you'll see. But I'll show you where I started and where I couldn't get to with this new injury that I'm rehabbing back. But it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
So it's the Carnegie Hall principle. You just practice, practice, practice.
But that's life to me. And when things go wrong and things fuck up, that's life. You know, I mean, Frank Sinatra made $1 billion singing about it. You know, that's life. You know, shit happens. It's all about how you react, adapt, take action, but most importantly, how you breathe. So I'll show you tomorrow. And ice right after, anytime you're trying to do anything, breaking up scar tissue, because that's the first, you know, it'll start to swell if you don't ice it and keep it down.
Okay.
Dougie, you got anything else?
No, not much. I just wanted to say, you were talking about the inspiration. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, thanks to a lot of the, even the new people provide inspiration to me because, you know, like Rich Wilkinson was talking about, oh, because he's going to come down here, oh, I'm going to take you in a, you know, we're going to have a push-up challenge. So I'm like, okay, you know, so it just, you know, the new, you know, a lot of the new people inspire me as well. You know, they might not think they do. They might look for a lot of us that inspire them, but a lot of the newer people do a lot of inspiration as well.
Oh, I think it's everybody. Anybody who stays active and gets on there and even goes away and comes back, you know, because a lot of people have lives, you know, they can't make the time, but, you know, they come in, they come out. And, you know, whatever is out there, whatever time you can give back, it's all paying it forward. It's all keeping it going. But it all keeps people in mind that, you know, what we're trying to do here with this whole Team YRG thing, you know, I didn't, you know, put this show together to put myself on the internet. I did it so I could answer one person's question, which might answer five people's questions. In time going, people going back and listen to the podcast, it might answer 100 or 1,000 people's questions. So that's why I put this whole thing together. And after next week, when we get back live, what I'm hoping will happen is when people come on, I'm hoping to have like 5 or 6 people on there and just popping in, you know, thoughts and then having a theme. That's another thing I'm going to work on, coming up with a theme to the show so people can, if they have questions around that. So if you can think of a theme, anybody who's out there, Robert, will you do me a favor? Will you put a blog up there on Team YRG and say, you know, what theme would you like to see talked about during a particular show? Now, it doesn't have to eat up the whole show, but it can, you know, can still be the theme. So if anybody, you know, who's listening to this who can come up with something or has an idea, Man, this is, I like flying by the seat of my pants during this because it's just all, it's all organic. It's natural. So I want to thank Doug and Stace for coming out. And of course, my main man, Robert over here for putting the show together today. And hope you guys who are listening learn something. And remember, only you can make a difference in you. Everyone else, thanks again. You've been wonderful. You've been marvelous. But see ya!
You love me! You hate me! You'll never forget me! Get ready to feel the... Self-high five!